This reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, which can be found on page 1093 of the Pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" This is the word of the Lord.
In one way, it must have seemed very, very strange for Jesus' disciples. A sound like wind, but which wasn't wind. Something that looked like fire, but wasn't fire. But actually, I guess it didn't take too long for them to figure it out. You see, just 10 days earlier, they'd seen Jesus ascend back to his Father. And one of the last things Jesus had told them was, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They'd seen Jesus ascend, and then they returned to Jerusalem to wait for what Jesus had promised. And now it had happened. The Holy Spirit filled them, and they were able to tell everyone the wonders of God. But it wasn't just that they had the courage to go out and talk to the people who lived in Jerusalem. You see, Pentecost, one of the great Jewish festivals, was a time when people from all over the world came to Jerusalem. And no matter where they came from or what language they spoke, the disciples were able to tell them the good news of what God had done in Jesus. What an amazing 3 years it had been for Jesus' disciples. As they'd gone around with him, they had seen him do wonderful things. Things which no one had ever done before. But actually, I don't think it was just those miracles which would have made an impression on them. Because what they realized as they spent time with Jesus and went round with him is that Jesus actually lived life perfectly. And they had never seen that done before. Jesus always treated people with love. Whether it was a leprosy sufferer who Jesus reached out and touched, or outcasts he befriended, or his own disciples whose feet he washed, Jesus really did put love into practice. And there was a real joy about Jesus. That didn't mean that he was always happy. Joy is something much deeper than just happiness. But Jesus talked about there being joy in heaven when a sinner repents. And he must have shared that joy himself. And Jesus knew what it was to have peace in his heart. Again, not just that he didn't end up fighting with others, though that's true, but something deeper. There was once that time when he was on a boat with his disciples in a storm, and they were terrified. They thought they were going to drown. But Jesus was asleep. He knew that God was in control, and so he didn't have to be anxious about the situation. Instead, he was peaceful. Jesus was so patient with others. At times, his disciples must have exasperated him. They misunderstood him, because there was once that classic time when they were arguing amongst themselves about which one of them was the greatest. Jesus could so easily have given up on them, but he didn't. He bore with them. He was patient with them. And Jesus was kind. The way he cared for others, even people who a lot of other people wouldn't have paid any attention to. He helped so many. Not only that, Jesus was good. He never used underhand means to get his own way. He didn't tell little white lies to get out of trouble. In fact, when he was crucified, one of the criminals crucified with him said, "This man has done nothing wrong." I suspect he might not have understood how true those words were, because Jesus never did do anything wrong. He was good. Jesus was faithful. Despite all that happened to him, he stayed true to his Father. He never turned away from the work he'd come to do. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could pray, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Jesus was perfectly faithful. And Jesus was gentle. I don't mean that kind of gentle Jesus, meek and mild wimpishness. Because actually to be gentle is to have great power, but to always have it under control and use it wildly. A stallion which has been broken in was said to have been gentled. And Jesus had great power, power enough to still a storm and to feed 5,000 with a picnic, but he never ever used that power for himself. He was gentle. And Jesus was self-controlled. When he was tempted, he never gave in. Once he'd been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness and Satan tempted him to turn stones into bread to eat. But still Jesus said no. He was self-controlled. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. No wonder the crowds flocked to Jesus. There had never been anyone quite like that. But now he was gone. What was it Jesus had said before his ascension? "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The disciples were to be witnesses. Let's go back to that upper room. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Two things, which seemed natural, but were actually supernatural. You see, the noise wasn't wind, it just sounded like wind. What they saw wasn't fire, it looked like fire. What could it mean? Right back from the earliest part of the Old Testament, wind was a symbol of God's Spirit. In fact, in Hebrew, there is only one word which can be translated wind, breath, or spirit. And now the wind symbolized the coming of God's empowering presence with them. Back again in the Old Testament, fire was a symbol of purity. So the flames which settled on them were to do with the purifying work of the Holy Spirit. The sound like the wind, the tongues like flame, they were kind of visual aids for the disciples. God's empowering presence had come to them. He'd come to make them holy and to equip them for his purpose. I wonder what you think of when you hear that word holy. What does being holy mean? Well, it has to do with being separate, cut off from what's wrong. But actually, if you want to see what holy looks like, just look at Jesus. He was the one who perfectly lived the life which God actually created all of us for. And so if the Holy Spirit came to make the disciples holy, it means he came to make them like Jesus. They were to be witnesses, not just in what they said, but also in the way they lived. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't actually there in the upper room that day, but he understood this really well, because writing to the church in Galatia, he told them, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." As characteristics of Jesus' life, the Holy Spirit produces in the lives of Christians. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, he equipped the disciples to talk about Jesus, but also to be like Jesus, to have that same fruit in their lives. Now, it wouldn't happen overnight, of course. Fruit grows slowly. But as the Spirit lived in them, so they would begin to become more like Jesus. And it's still true today. Whenever somebody becomes a Christian, when they start following Jesus as their Savior and Lord, then the Holy Spirit comes to live in them. Might not be as dramatic as on the day of Pentecost, but it is just as certain. And he might not give you a language you've never learned to talk to others, you've never learned to talk to others about Jesus, though I guess that could happen if it was needed. But the Holy Spirit does still empower Christians to be witnesses. He empowers us not just to talk about Jesus, but to be like Jesus. And that is a powerful witness. You see, so many, many people spend so much effort trying to find love and joy and peace, but they are just so elusive. You think you've got them and then they've gone. Most people I know want to be kind and good, but find it just doesn't come naturally. In fact, it doesn't really seem possible. Many people long for self-control, but instead just go on giving in to the same old temptations. You see, the reality is, no matter how hard you try, you will never be able to make yourself joyful or peaceful. You will never be able to make yourself kind or good. You'll actually always be like Oscar Wilde, who once famously said, "I can resist anything except temptation." But if you're a Christian, you don't need to try to force those things to grow in your life, because the Holy Spirit is actually producing that fruit in you. All you've got to do, well, the way Paul puts it in Galatians 5 is, keep in step with the Spirit. Spend time reading the Bible and praying. Make sure you meet together for worship. Those are the things which allows the Spirit to produce this fruit in your life. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and transformed the lives of Jesus' disciples. And he is still doing exactly the same thing today. Because it's when he lives in you and you keep in step with him that your life will finally be all that it was meant to be. All that you want it to be, all that God made you to be. Only when the Holy Spirit lives in you will you be fully human.